Hello, Craig.
It's Craig. Craig's here.
All right. Hello, Tony, from overseas.
Hello, Ryan, from where you live.
Hello. This is TH Fantasy, episode 27. I am currently home, and Tony is away, whereas last week I was away and Tony was home. So, Tony, tell us where you're at.
I'm in the land of Tim Hortons. I'm up in Canada. I'm in Hamilton, Ontario, at my girlfriend's family's place. It's nice up here.
Did you get a coffee and a cruller yet?
Not yet. That's tomorrow. We're going to get our Tim tomorrow. I know.
I figured you would have done that like right when you crossed the border.
You know, it's tough. There's not a lot of exits on the Wayne Gretzky Parkway.
That's true. Just like we have Martin Luther King Drive in the United States, they have Wayne Gretzky Drive.
Every small town, every single place in Canada has one street known as the Wayne Gretzky Parkway.
That's awesome.
Episode 27, you're back. You're back home from Nebraska. I'm in Canada. We're still taking it mobile. We take our non-paying podcast job very seriously. So, good to see you. Glad to have you back. I'm sure your house is glad to have you back. You got a bunch of lawn to mow and you got some roses to cover. Are you going to cover your roses tonight?
My mom made sure to fucking call me and say, cover your fucking roses. I planted those last year and I don't want them to fucking die.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I got my lawnmower out today for the first time this year. Gave the lawn its first cut. Got to fertilize, do all that homeowner shit.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. I know it's like the first lawn mow of the year is a very special time for a homeowner.
It is. It's pretty sacred. You know, it holds dear to my heart. It's always around the middle to late April. This year it was a little late. I probably could have done it last weekend, but I wanted to give it a little chance to grow, you know.
True.
So we're approaching the draft is this week. So,
oh, thank God.
Fuck yeah.
Thank God.
Starts on Thursday, yeah?
It does. There will be a Football Absurdity Twitch stream for the draft.
For the first round?
Yeah. So, people are going to cover, like, hey, this is my favorite team, and Evan's going to be like, hey, what'd you think about this draft pick? So, after Cleveland signed Deshaun Watson, I was like, they're not my AFC team anymore. I can't root for them anymore. So I decided that I'm going to be a Texans fan. That's going to be my AFC team.
What are the Texans going to do this year? Are they just rolling with Mullins or?
They're doing Mills this year. Yeah.
Mills. Yeah, that's right.
And they're going to get hopefully a couple of powerful offensive linemen.
We'll see. How many picks do they have in the first round? Just one, or
they have, well, they have two. They have pick 3 and 13.
Oh shit!
So we'll see what happens. I did want to clear up something last week. We talked about Aaron Rodgers and his lack of weapons. We neglected to mention that I think the day we recorded, the Packers did sign Sammy Watkins to a 1-year deal.
That was a good, an interesting point we brought up last weekend. And yeah, and I do like the Sammy, but do you think he's got anything left in the tank?
No, but if he does, Rodgers is going to be the guy to find it, right?
Right. And it almost sucks for Watkins too, in my opinion, because everyone's just going to be all over him now. He's the only guy to cover.
And until the draft. So,
I guess, yeah, that's a good point. We are, 3 days removed from the draft, so we'll see what happens.
Right. Also, something that doesn't get a lot of play, because I didn't know about it until recently, Sammy Watkins is fucking weird, man.
Yeah, what's this all about?
So I read an old Bleacher Report article written about Sammy Watkins, and I don't want to rehash it too much, but he believes in demons. He believes that spirits move through all of us constantly. He was interviewed in March of 2020 and didn't know what COVID was, which, not his fault necessarily.
Does he believe in disease? Is he a Christian?
there's a lot of Christian overtones in what he said, but I'm not sure if he like practices.
Okay.
He definitely believes in a new world order, which is always a red flag.
Right.
And he believes that dreams are astral projections and that we can change our fates in real life based on what happens in our dream lives. So what I mean,
I guess that's the perspective of someone who's just been given millions of dollars their entire early 20s and 30s. But
so I will say this. Remember how Stafford went to the Rams and Cooper Kupp like ate breakfast with him and everyone's like, oh, that's why they developed their tight bond?
Because he had Cheerios with him? Yeah.
Like, maybe Sammy Watkins and Aaron Rodgers will like worship crystals with each other. And it'll be like one of those types of things.
No, dude, they're going to get into feet. Rodgers is going to show them the way of the foot.
The way of the foot.
Yep.
Noted foot fetishist Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
All right. Other news. Kadarius Toney on the trading block.
Yeah, what happened with that?
So he didn't show up to voluntary minicamp. So he didn't have to come, but new coach, new scheme, new program, second-year player, you would want him to come.
You would think he would show up either, yeah.
Right. He didn't show up. They interviewed Brian Daboll, the coach, and he said that Kadarius Toney, since he didn't show up to the minicamp, he doesn't have the playbook yet. And then the next day, people are like, oh, he's on the trading block. Kadarius Toney was hurt most of last year, as you know. He also got a little punchy with the Dallas Cowboys defensive back. But he had exactly 420 receiving yards last year, which is sick.
That's baller right there.
Earned 20 yards. That's fucking elite.
That's a good stat right there.
Anyone can be Jamar Chase and get thousands of yards. But 420 yards exactly?
Yeah. The only way you could beat that is if you got 4,420 yards.
Right, right. And 69 touchdowns.
Right.
Obviously. So I'm in four dynasty leagues. I have Kadarius Toney in three of them.
What do you think is going to be an interesting landing spot for him?
I honestly think he could go a lot of different places. I'd like to see him anywhere. I mean, anywhere without Daniel Jones.
What's your favorite that he would go to? Outside of the Bears.
I don't know if I want him on the Bears. I wouldn't mind seeing him in like a Seattle or New England.
Ooh.
I think New England probably wants to go through the draft, but I could see a rebuilding team like Seattle getting a guy, you know, on his rookie contract.
I think if he goes to New England, he goes there to die. But I hope he doesn't end up in New England. I hope he ends up anywhere but New England, I guess.
I'd be interested to see if he gets moved before the draft or after the draft. The problem about trading players during the draft is they have to pass physicals. So, like, why would you give up a draft pick in exchange for someone that hasn't passed a physical yet?
Right.
So,
he's a smaller player, right? He's not even 6'4".
Right. He's a little guy.
Yeah.
So, funny because that Kadarius Toney was selected with the pick that the Bears gave up in order to move up to get Justin Fields. So, suck it. All right. So, those are two little wide receiver notes before we get started on the main course. We'll see how much time we have left over if we want to do the all-name rookie draft.
Instead of touching on that, let's just do like a little, like, not even like a mock draft. Do you want to do your top 15 PPR players you think are going to be out of this draft?
Yeah. So
something like that.
So we looked at Ryan and I looked at an Andrew Erickson, his mock 6.0, and it was the first three rounds. So there were 26 fantasy relevant guys selected in his mock draft. So what I'd like to do is kind of give you my top 12 based on these landing spots, and I'll do a little bit of explaining why for each. And because honestly, like, we've talked about the rookie guide that I did. We've talked about some of the write-ups that I've done for Football Absurdity. Those aren't set in stone. It's all based on landing spot. It's all based on capital. How high of a pick are you willing to submit for one of these guys? So we have, like I said, we have 26 guys on here. So I kind of want to give you what my rankings would be for guys based on A, what's going around the NFL rumor mill, who likes what, and then also based on these actual draft spots. Okay. This will be, by the way, our last episode before the draft. So after this, we're not dealing in hypotheticals anymore, man. After this, it's the real deal.
A lot to talk about next week. We're going to break down the draft. We're going to break down a lot of stuff. So let's go with your number one player. We'll go Breece Hall.
Breece Hall. You know, like, it's a hot take of mine that I don't think Breece Hall is the best running back in this class. I think he's the second best running back in this class. But Erickson has him at 25. So he's got him in round one, which I don't think is going to happen. I really don't.
Seems kind of odd, right?
Right. But Breece Hall has been the 101 since the combine. And if he goes in the first round, bro, I don't care if he goes in the first round to a team that has zero offensive linemen. He's 101 in even Superflex rookie drafts, because running backs in the first round, that's a huge fucking deal.
Yeah, that's a huge card.
Right. So that's my number one is Breece Hall, even in Superflex, even in two quarterback. The draft capital and the skill level are just too high to pass up on. So that's my number one.
And take in mind, this is your top 15 PPR rookies.
Full PPR, yep. And yeah, we are assuming Superflex as well.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay. So your number two is going to be Malik Willis.
Okay, so Malik Willis could easily turn into the next Jalen Hurts, but he also, like, some of his throws, man, are Mahomes throws. Like, he makes Mahomes throws. Will he be that good? I doubt it. But, you know, I've talked to people about this, about Willis. In the dynasty that we just started this summer, the guy that has 102 is like, I'm not sold on Willis. And I'm like, you shouldn't be. It's all about his potential. That's what it's about. It's not about what he can do right now. So he's my number two.
Right. So obviously you're thinking he's not going somewhere to start right off the bat.
Right. And here's the thing. If he's pick 9 overall, like in this mock draft to Seattle, they're going to give him time. They're going to let him suck for a little bit. And I think that's valuable.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, because they're just going to roll with Drew Lock, and then, you know, you never know. It could be a bear situation where he gets injured and then Fields is just, or sorry, Willis is just coming in to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Or he could just suck. Or they could be like, let's get the rebuild done now. Let's get it going.
That's true. All right, I like that. So your number three is Matt Corral.
Yeah, Matt Corral, the Golden Corral.
I'm actually very interested to see where he ends up, because a lot of people are saying that where he goes, he may end up starting.
It's a good chance. I mean, I like the idea of Corral sitting for a year, but he's my number three because he's taken 20th overall to Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's offense is a great offense to fall into. Mike Tomlin's a great coach. And Matt Corral, his release, best release in the draft. He has the best throw motion of any quarterback in the draft. My God.
And once again, it's going to be another bear situation where you've got Trubisky
and a young guy.
And who's the other guy? Did they get rid of him?
So it was Glennon. It was Glennon to Trubisky, and then Trubisky to Dalton. No, Trubisky to Foles, and then Trubisky to Dalton.
Right. No, I'm not talking about the Bears. I'm talking about Pittsburgh. Was the guy that started last year when Roethlisberger was hurt.
Rudolph,
that's right.
Yeah.
If you've got Rudolph and Trubisky to compete with.
Yeah, those guys suck.
Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky, by all accounts, totally nice guy. Sucks.
Very nice, just not good.
Right. So that's my number three, Matt Corral. I think if Matt Corral goes to Pittsburgh, I think there's a good chance we see Matt Corral within the first few weeks of the season. And to me, that's worth more in Superflex than anything that the wide receivers are bringing at this point.
Oh, I think so.
But now we're going to get into wide receivers because I have, if you look at my list, the next six guys are all wide receivers.
Yeah. So you're, what is this, four? Your number four is Drake London.
Drake London to the Jets. Now, this is also, I've heard the Jets are trying to trade pick 10 for Debo, which I really don't think is going to happen, and I don't want to happen.
Yeah.
Drake London, man. Mike Evans, part two. Like, jump ball winner, separator, mean dude, breaks crazy amounts of tackles, stiff-arming dudes, throwing blocks down the field. He plays fucking angry, and I really, like, to me, the Drake London and then the next two guys that I'm talking about, best three wide receivers in the draft, and it's not even close.
He just seems ready to play at an NFL level. Yeah.
And he's healthy, his foot's healed, and he mosses dudes, and then he beats dudes after the catch, and he can beat you in a number of different ways. Doesn't matter how much separation he gets. Because he does get separation, but people said he didn't. Doesn't matter how much separation he gets, he's going to wreck dudes at the point of the catch.
Oh, yeah.
So he's 10th overall to the Jets, and that is my fourth overall player.
So your number five is Jameson Williams.
I love Jameson Williams. Jameson Williams goes 8th overall to Atlanta in this draft.
Okay. I think I like that. Like I was saying earlier, I was listening to something. They were breaking down Atlanta's draft picks. And if Atlanta wants a really good wide receiver this year, they're going to have to use their 8th pick instead of using a tackle, instead of drafting a tackle. I know they need a tackle, but I think they got a better chance of getting someone in the second round than they need a star talent for wide receiver. They need to replace Julio Jones. They need to replace a lot of guys still.
And we'll get there in a few picks, but if this draft was real, I'll tell you all about why I'm all in on Atlanta's offense and dynasty. I think Jameson Williams, there are a lot of people that know wide receivers better than me that have been saying since January that Jameson Williams is the best wide receiver in this class. His rehab is apparently ahead of schedule. A lot of people in scouting departments seem to think he's the best wide receiver coming out this year. So I like Drake London a little bit more right now. But if you give me Jameson Williams 8th overall in Atlanta, it's going to be really fucking close.
Has there been any reports on how he's healing?
Yeah, he's ahead of schedule.
Okay.
He's 13 weeks post-surgery. So I think he's already running a little bit.
That injury was what? January? February?
January.
It's normally that he did his ACL or was it different?
Yeah, it was his ACL, yep.
ACL, so generally it's like a year timeline, but
it could be 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, he's young, so he could heal a lot faster.
My back still hurts.
Just like the running back from LA came back at the end of last season in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that was with an Achilles, which is way worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jameson Williams is my 1.05 in Superflex and my second wide receiver off the board.
All right. So your number six is going to be Treylon Burks.
God, Treylon Burks. So, like, the best part about this is, like, nothing new has happened in the last 2 months, but all of a sudden everyone thinks Treylon Burks sucks now, and I fucking love it. I love it. Oh my god, please let Treylon Burks fall to me everywhere.
What's the narrative for everyone being shit on him?
So everyone thought that he was going to run like a 4.44040, and he ran like a 4.540, and his hands weren't as big as everyone said they were. And people are like, yeah, he doesn't run the best routes, but like none of these motherfuckers do. So like, shut the fuck up. Burks in this mock draft goes to Green Bay at 22. And I think that's a big reason why he's like, I want to see all those fucking nerds talk about how overrated he is when he goes to Green Bay.
Okay.
Like, if there's a dude that can do what Deebo Samuel does in this draft, it's Treylon Burks. And he does it weighing an extra 20 pounds.
You think he's got the ability to be a running back as well as a wide receiver?
They use Burks as a running back quite a bit at Arkansas, yeah.
But that'd be interesting, though, because I don't... Green Bay doesn't run those, like, schemes at all.
They don't, but Burks is... Burks can play all over the field, and Burks is fucking nice. So
I guess if they've got the guy to do it, if he goes to Green Bay, then they might change the game plan up a little bit.
But, I mean, Burks is a freak, man. Burks is like stiff-arming dudes like Derrick Henry.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to put his foot down about that and put a lot of that position to plan.
His bare foot, he's going to put it down and rub it around a little bit.
It's just like that movie, My Left Foot, for Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly, except for it's, please put your mouth on my left foot.
Please get your disgusting feet out of both of me. Please.
So Burks is my six, yeah.
All right, so your number seven is going to be Garrett Wilson, Ohio State product.
Yeah, to the Eagles.
Interesting, to the Eagles. I like that.
It's really difficult to want to say that a first-round pick wide receiver to the Eagles is a good idea. But I think Wilson was originally in my top three. But I don't think he's as big of a can't-miss prospect as I once thought he was. During the draft process, like the early parts of the process, he was seen as like, yeah, dude, this guy and Treylon Burks are A and B, top wide receiver in the class. And now everyone's cooled on Burks, and I've cooled more on Wilson. Like, Wilson doesn't have top high-end speed. Wilson's going to be a possession guy at the next level, so I'm not like... dying to get him on my teams.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's going to be productive. He's going to be a good... And so, like, the word safe, I think, gets thrown around a lot about Wilson.
Yeah. I guess that's a good statement, yeah.
So, I think he's got a perfectly good chance to be a good wide receiver, too, for a while. Also, let's call a timeout real quick in the middle of this mock draft, because it has come to light that Bears wide receiver Byron Pringle was arrested in Florida on Saturday and is facing charges of reckless driving and driving with a suspended license. He was doing donuts with his kid in the car.
What the fuck, man? What is... Oh, my God.
Let's go Bears.
Bears. Fucking Bears.
That's Bears wide receiver too, right there, my friend.
Who tweeted that? Was that Schefter? Just broke
that. That was a Schefty bomb. Yep.
I knew it. I knew the Bears team was too good to be true this year. It's always going to be something. God damn it.
Yeah, like one of the worst rosters in football. You're like, man, this is too good to be true. Let's get some of them arrested.
Oh.
You do like Byron Pringle. You've always liked Pringle and Hardman.
I do. Pringle's always been a really good like DFS play. Like if you can call the week that he's going to catch, you know, because he usually gets 3 or 4 touchdowns from Mahomes during the year.
Right.
And it's if you can call that week, he's like the best play because he's only like, what, 4,800, 5,000 maybe?
Right.
He's awesome flex allowing you to pay up for other guys.
So don't do donuts with your kid in the car, you fucking idiot.
How old is your kid?
I don't know. I didn't say.
I hope he's not like an infant in a car seat.
I sure hope not.
Oh my God, that would be child endangerment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll monitor the situation and we'll get right back to you.
Any breaking news will pop on this podcast. But you're number eight. you went with George Pickens, Georgia product, who you compared to Josh Reynolds.
Yes. This is a crazy hot take because Pickens over Olave is nuts.
Yeah, that kind of surprises me that you had, I would have thought you would have had Olave between the 6 and 10.
So I'll tell you why I have Pickens over Olave. Because Pickens in this draft...
Spoiler alert, Olave is the next pick.
Olave is the next pick. But Pickens goes pick 50 to Kansas City, whereas Olave goes to the Saints at 16. And I think both of those are their optimal spots. But I think Pickens to Kansas City, that and Burks to Green Bay are like the juiciest matchups.
Well, I mean, either one of those guys is going to wish that they were playing in Kansas City, but who knows? Right. I mean, if Jameis Winston stays healthy this year in New Orleans, I mean, shit, the last time he started, he threw for like 5,200 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw 30 whatever interceptions, but he still had a shitload of passing yards.
And so Olave is my ninth overall. So, like, to me, I think both of those guys are in optimal spots. I think Pickens has such a stronger case to be an immediate impact if he's playing in Green Bay.
Like, yeah. Like,
Mahomes, I think Mahomes has a lot of opportunity there to spread the field and throw the ball up and let Pickens go get it. Like, almost like in a way that he does with Kelsey. And Pickens is mean. I love it. Pickens will be like he told Michigan's sideline, he put his finger up to like silence him, and then ran out and just fucking laid a dude out on the run block. George Pickens is gonna fuck some dudes up. So I love that. And I moved Pickens over Olave. Here's the thing. I'm fully prepared to be totally wrong. I think there's a good chance Chris Olave is a totally fine, great NFL wide receiver too. I think George Pickens has the potential to be a wide receiver one. That's why I put him over Pickens. Yeah. That's why I put him over Olave, and I'm willing to take the L. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll grow from it, and I'll learn, and I'll get better. But as of right now, Pickens to the Chiefs, Olave to the Saints. Give me Pickens 10 out of 10 times.
That is a bold statement for the week.
Yeah, Pickens, put it on there. That's my Liv Moss.
Wide receiver one.
That's my Liv Moss statement of the week.
So we already talked about Olave. Do you want to go to your number 10?
Number 10.
All right. So your number 10 is Mr. Kenneth Walker from Michigan State.
Kenneth Walker at 58-2.
I can't believe, why is he going 58?
I mean, I think that's reasonably, I think like the 50s is where Hall and Walker should be going.
Third round, though.
Well, it's the late second. Like, you don't want to waste a first round pick on a running back. Plus, look at Atlanta's draft so far. Atlanta gets Jameson Williams and Kenneth Walker. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And then you get them a quarterback next year. And then Atlanta's offense is Ridley, Jameson Williams, Kyle Pitts, Kenneth Walker.
Okay.
That's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a mock draft written by a fantasy guy. So I think there's a lot of like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this happened?
Right.
And for this, yeah, it'd be really fucking cool if this happened. So that brings us to, that's the first 10. It's the top 10.
That's top 10. So what do you want to do? Two more?
Let's do
12. Okay. So your 11 is Mr. Isaiah Spiller, Texas.
Yeah, Isaiah Spiller, and like, I like
your comparison to Josh Jacobs, because those types of running backs are going to do really well.
My problem is that he gets taken 81st overall, and he goes to the Giants.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a skanky spot. Like, I don't like that spot at all, but I'll tell you what, like...
Yeah, I don't agree with that spot in the mock in the mock draft either. He's not going to go to the Giants.
I really still believe in Saquon Barkley. Like, the dude got hurt. How are we going to act like, sure, will he ever be how he was as a rookie? But if you give me 85% of that, he's still one of the better running backs in football.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, sure, will I take him, you know, fourth overall? No. But if he's there in the early second, you bet your ass I'll take Saquon Barkley. I will lose betting on Saquon Barkley because the talent is there. So my putting Isaiah Spiller in at 12, or at 11 in this mock draft is me saying that I don't think the Giants are going to bring back Barkley next year, build back Barkley next year.
Okay.
And so they'll get to have Spiller as the lead in that Daboll offense, hopefully with a little bit more of a good offensive playbook that he could benefit from.
Where do you think Barkley's going to go?
Man, running back musical chairs, like, right. There's no way you could tell a year in advance, but, like, I could see Barkley going to a Tampa Bay or a Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like, if he's a free agent, I mean, think about all those, like, I was reading something today about the Commanders, like, possibly drafting a running back because they've had visits with Hall, Spiller, and Walker, and everyone's like, what about Gibson? It's like, bro, no one's signing us a running back to a second contract.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're trying to bring in cheap running backs. That's what they want to do. So that's Spiller. So Spiller's my 11. And then last but not least,
our man with the small hands. Let me show you my strong hand. Miss Kenny Pickett at number 12.
So he's like Eric Clapton. Instead of slow hand, he's strong hand. Kenny strong hand Pickett. I put him at 12 because he goes 32nd overall to Detroit.
Interesting.
One of the things about Detroit one of the things about Pickett that I noticed when I watched his tape, that dude crushes when he has a good pocket. And I think Detroit's offensive line is going to improve drastically.
Yeah, that's a good point. And also apparently Kenny Pickett's hands grow in game. So,
dude, who knows? By the time the season starts, he could have giant hands.
Yeah, like we're talking like pizza box hands.
Right, like, where he can just crush the football. Like, no problem. Also, man, like, I gotta be honest with you. As a Bears fan, it kind of sucks how, like, nowadays we gotta go against Justin Jefferson, but we also have to watch the Bears go against a Detroit team that has Amon-Ra St. Brown, TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift, and, like, there's a potential that they just keep adding on skill position players.
Yeah, it's like super weird to say, but like, you know, because we grew up in the NFC North, but like Detroit might be good this year.
They. I don't think they'll be good this year, but I think they'll be fun.
I think they'll be competitive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think the offense is going to get better. Like, that's the cool thing about Dynasty. Maybe not this year, but maybe next year, Detroit. Right. Shit.
I think what might happen too, like, they'll be like either in charge a lot of these games and then start falling behind or they're just going to have some crazy games where they just lose in the last 5 minutes of the game because they're down three and the other team scores a touchdown. I think they're going to be really
exactly. You mean exactly like it was last year?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. You're right. There was a lot of games last year where they just lost like 34 to 28 or something like that.
So, in this very same mock draft, they have Aiden Hutchinson falling to Detroit at second overall. So,
really?
If Detroit leaves round one with Aiden Hutchinson, arguably the best defender in this draft, and a starting quarterback, like, what a haul, you know?
Yeah.
So, before we wrap, a couple other of the mock draft landing spots that I liked a lot. Sky Moore to the Titans at 26.
Ooh.
So Sky Moore to the Titans would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It would open shit up for A.J. Brown on the outside, having someone underneath to get open.
What's going on with Brown's contract?
He wants the bag, but he still hasn't a year left, so we'll see what happens.
Okay.
But, dude, think about this Tennessee Titans offense. You got Tanny. You got the return of Derrick Henry. You got A.J. Brown, who, by the way, greatest player in the history of football. You've got fucking Robert Woods on the other side. You got Bobby Trees himself.
Yep.
Sky Moore in the slot.
Oh, my God.
That's a squad right there.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
Who do you cover? Like, how do you put eight men in the box when you've got all those dudes on the outside?
Yeah, right?
So I like that. I like that a lot. I really liked I like Trey McBride to the Buccaneers. I love Tom Brady with two tight ends on the field, man. Think about it, they could be running that like pre, well, Aaron Hernandez was already killing people by then, but you could run that like two tight end stuff that the Patriots like to run so much when Hernandez and Gronk were running wild. If you have Gronk and Trey McBride out there, that'd be pretty fucking sick. Another one I like John Mechie to the Patriots. We talked earlier about Kadarius Toney. The point is that New England needs a slot guy, and Mechie is great. Like, a Mechie in New England would be a dream come true. I don't like the Bears taking Christian Watson at 48. I would probably cry. But tell you who I really fucking like. I really like Alec Pierce to the Cardinals at 87 overall.
The Cardinals. Interesting.
Dude.
Is Murray going to be playing there?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Alec Pierce with, like, Hopkins and Rondale Moore on that with Kyler Murray, I think that could be fucking sick. And then the last spot that I really, really liked was James Cook, the running back, going to Denver at pick 96.
Oh my God, throw him in the mix with Cook and Gordon, or not Cook, James
Javonte. Well, Gordon's still a free agent, man. Don't count your chickens yet. So if it's just Javonte and James Cook, that'd be fucking sick.
Yeah, that's true.
I love that fit. Because I think we talked about it. I love when Javonte Williams get really upset. Those managers are like, he's the greatest running back of all time. Yeah, whatever, sure, great, awesome. Don't care. So that's kind of that's where we're at. Those are my top like 12 and then a couple extra bonus guys in there. This is our last episode, like I said, where we're just spitballing. After this, we got data, man. We got so much data to go through.
Right.
We're going to talk about, at some point, we're going to talk about these offensive linemen and how they help the running or pass games that they go.
Yeah, we can do some analysis of where these rookie O-line guys go, see how it could improve the quarterback stats for this year.
Trust us when we say that our stuff after the draft is going to be next level. Like, we're going to start dominating shit, like, ASAP with what we're covering.
I fucking hope so. It'll be so awesome.
Dude, this is the year. This is the year when it all comes together in the, you know, four leagues we play in together, so we're just going to be competing for the same rookies.
This is where the cream dreams happen.
Dude, this is where the creams are dreams. And so next week, we'll have a little bit of feedback. We'll have some hot takes, some draft hot takes. And, you know, we've made it, man. We made it through the roughest part of the football year.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
because after this, then it's rookie mini caps, and then we've got actual rookie drafts in Dynasty, and then we've got preseason, and we've got training camp, we've got all kinds of fun shit. Like,
To the layman, it doesn't seem like there's much to talk about during the football offseason, but we found lots of stuff to talk about.
We're like 4 months away from like redraft season, like doing your redraft drafts.
Yeah.
We're like 4 months away. So, like, we'll have rookie draft stuff. We'll do like live stream stuff, all kinds of stuff. This is going to be super fun. So this was our last episode of the old times. And so here's to the old times and moving forward to the new.
It's the Old Testament of 2022.
Dude, we're moving on to the New Testament now. Like, book of...
The book of Job.
Book of God. You ever read that book of the Bible? The book of God?
The one. Exodus 4:20.
Exodus 4:20, chapter 6, verse 9.
Thou shalt have all pot necessary to draft while playing fantasy football.
Oh my God, dude. We're going to like smoke such a huge joint. It's going to be awesome. And we're just going to talk so much shit. Perfect. So this was episode 27. I think this was an excellent episode.
Yeah.
I think we learned a lot. I think we have a lot to learn. And I think going forward, we will, you know, use this data to get better.
Oh, yeah.
So before we go, you know, say thanks. I want to say thanks to Craig. Thanks to you, Ryan. Thanks to myself, the Football Absurdity. Thanks to you for listening. Dude, should we do that thing where we're like, you got to like and subscribe and you got to rate us 5 stars on the iTunes store?
Sure, yeah. Like and subscribe, especially because Tony's in Canada this week for
the
latter part of the week of 420. I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah. Share it with your friends who like fantasy sports, maybe.
Next week, I guarantee you, we will all be back in the Chicagoland area and have somewhat of normalcy for like we haven't had the last 2 weeks. But
we'll have guests at some point. We'll have prizes. We'll have all kinds of funk.
Like Tony said, like and subscribe. Give us, you know, $1 million.
Give us $1 million. You give us 5 stars. That equals $1 million. And then we'll see you guys next week. So for Ryan, I'm Tony. Craig is Craig. And we'll see you guys soon.
Good night.
Good night.
They're going to get into feet.